Today we have a guest speaker that we are all familiar with. And for those who are not familiar with him, he's Mr. Albert Lee. He's from Evangelical Free Church, and he is worshipping in that church. He has been part of that church for a long time, and he also has been with us for quite a few years now. So today he's bringing us the message from Judges 9, titled When God is Forgotten.
Morning. I'm retired from working with ODB Ministry. Then I completed my term with EMEA's EFC Church. And John reminded me, Pastor John reminded me that there's no retirement, and he's correct. Because right now I am doing this business as mission in Singapore with a company that will has a penetration to be in China. So it's a business of mission, but praise the Lord, I'm at a stage where he had provided, and I no longer need to take salary, so I can do it for the first time in my life in full-time work as a volunteer. And some of you have done that already for a long, long time. And if you want to know a little bit more about this business as mission, we're into the coffee business, and we are also into the light business. So if you want to know a little bit about lights, I can tell you about it afterward. I was checking my record and I realized that this is my 9th message with you. Was it 7? Okay, never mind. On the book of Judges. I don't know where you can ever remember who are all the people we talk about. Started with Othniel, then we went to Ehud, and we went to Shamgar, and we look at Deborah, then we look at Gideon, and then today we are looking at a person who is not a judge, but it is in chapter 9. And we start by reading Judges chapter 8, verse 34, where we saw very sadly the ending of Gideon's life. I don't know where you remember. We talk about Gideon. We talk about how he was a coward who became a challenger, who became a conqueror. Remember that? But then sadly speaking, his life should have ended in chapter 7, but it did not. That's chapter 8, and we had to look at it. And it was really a disappointing chapter, because here is a man who is a conqueror. God used him greatly to free the people from their enemies, but he ended up as a controller. And we don't want our life to end that way. So we pick up the study of the book of Judges by looking at chapter 8, verse 34. Where he says that the children of Israel remember not the Lord their God, who delivered them out of the hands of all the enemies on every side. To forget God. Can it be possible? Can it be possible in our lives to forget God? As early as the 17th century, the need for public education was recognized by the Puritan living on American shores. They insisted that the Bible must be the core of all their school curriculum, because the Bible is the plan for living a meaningful and fruitful life. You see, they also believe that Satan is keeping men from the knowledge of the scripture. 88 of the first 100 colleges founded by them was to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Such colleges like Princeton, Harvard, and Yale. You have heard of them, though, haven't you? Not the locker, Yale, the college. Princeton, in the early days, insisted that the faculty must all be convinced of the necessity of salvation. Today, no longer. Harvard was founded to train pastors. That's their core reason for founding Harvard, to train pastors. And at that time, for many, many years, half of their graduates went into full-time Christian work and churches. But by the late 18th century, spiritually, Harvard is dead. Yale, for many, many years, has a gospel team traveling across the country for evangelism. Yet in recent years, a survey indicated that 50% of Yale graduating students had no belief in any God. When God is forgotten, what will people do? When God is forgotten in our lives, what will we do? In Judges 9, we see Abimelech given to murderous ambition. So we ask ourselves the question, who influenced him so much to be going in that direction? His father, remember Gideon, refused to be king. Yet he was living like a king. You see, parents tell their children what they must do, right? Children will only do what their parents do. Gideon's behavior must have fueled Abimelech's ambition to be king. Children always imitate their parents' walk, not their talk. If you're wondering why your children are like this or like that, simple. Look at the mirror. Years ago, I emphasize years ago because my wife is here, I was very disappointed that my son was such an angry person. You know, when he's unhappy, he gets very angry. I wonder why. Well, the answer is found when I look at the mirror. As I became less and less an angry person, slowly I see my son become less and less an angry person. His mother was a servant girl. Gideon's wife, Abimelech's mother, was a servant girl, actually slave girl. Do you know her name? She is nameless in the Bible. She's not even recognized as one of Gideon's wife. So, despised by his stepbrothers, it must have etched deeply into Abimelech's life great insecurity. I know such emotions, you know. As a young man, I felt very inferior. I don't even know my father. Cannot even remember his name. Cannot even visualize his face. Because when my mother divorced him when I was a very young child, she burned all her wedding photographs. As a fighter, I projected myself as superior to others. I do anything to prove to people that I'm better than them. When people knowingly or unknowingly treat me as lesser, I will start to cut them down to size. With quick wittedness, I can make people laugh or I can make them cry. I can praise them sky high or I can tear them apart. Insecurity. The city where Abimelech lived with his mom must have influenced him greatly also. We as Singaporeans, we stay in Singapore. Do you know how much Singapore have influenced us? Until we believe that if it works, it must be the truth. Baal Berith, worship in Shechem city, where Abimelech lived in, promotes a culture of selfish ambition. Are we not living in such a world today, where even some prominent people will say, greed is good. Greed is good. Well, 1 Timothy chapter 3 tells us that in the last days, men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasures, not lovers of good, and not lovers of God. That's the city where Abimelech lived in. So his father influenced him, his mother influenced him, and the city he lived in influenced him. And so Abimelech plotted to be king through self-promotion. Self-promotion is also the thing of today, you know what I mean? I don't know if those of you who are old enough or not, maybe there are some here old enough. You remember when you first go and interview in job? You know, in our olden time, we always tell people you go to before them, you know, what can you do? Sir, I cannot do many things, but I can learn. I will do my very best. I will, you know. That's how we talk, you know, in those days. Today, you have to manufacture your resume. Even if you are not from Melbourne U, but somewhere in Melbourne, you put Melbourne U and get caught for it, right? If you have been keeping touch with the newspaper. He promoted himself as the better man. He asked the citizens of Shechem, who is your relative? Me. We read this in verse 2, chapter 9. Ask all the citizens of Shechem, which is better for you? To have all 70 of Zerubbabel's son rule over you, or just one man? Remember, I am your flesh and blood. Kaki nang na. If I got my teacher correct, must have a little bit of sound, twang. Kaki na. Well, his mother's family supported him. And so in verse 4 we read, they gave him 70 shekels of silver from the temple of Baal-berith, and Abimelech used it to hire reckless adventurers who became his followers. Money given to the gods are now given to him. 70 shekels of silver, one silver shekel for one life. He uses might to establish his rule. Some years ago, Plato said, do not expect justice when might is right. 3 centuries later, the Roman philosopher Seneca wrote, might makes right. 17th century later, the French novelist Joseph Hubert wrote, force and might rules everything in this world. Force until right appears. Why do people think they can force and make things right? What do you think? Can we force and make things right? Can we force our children and make things right? Can Putin, if I can use him, force and make things right in his mind? Well, I kind of think that people who force to make things right is a result of an overestimation of their righteousness and an underestimation of their wickedness. An overestimation of your righteousness and an underestimation of your wickedness. That's why in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, we read, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it. You know yourself very well. I know myself very well. I look at the mirror and see myself, and I walk away and I forget. Deceitfulness produces tyrants. And Abimelech was a tyrant. Because in verse 45 of Judges chapter 9, we read this. So Abimelech fought against the city all that day. He took the city, killed the people who were in it, and he demolished the city and sold it with salt. You see, it is understandable in a fight that lives and things will be destroyed and lost, right? But to destroy the productiveness of a land after the fight is over by sowing salt on it. You know what happens, right? When you sow salt on the land, it cannot produce anymore for the next few years. Only a tyrant wants to make this generation suffer and also the next generation suffer. Sixty-nine of Abimelech's brother was murdered on one stone. It was not a fight. It was a public assassination. But the youngest brother, Jotham, escaped. And so in verse 6 to 8, we read this. All the citizens of Shechem and Beth Milo gathered beside the great tree at the pillar in Shechem to crown Abimelech king. When Jotham was told about this, he climbed up on the top of Mount Gerizim and shouted to them, "Listen to me, citizens of Shechem, so that God may listen to you." Jotham interrupted Abimelech's coronation with a parable. Now you know that the first parable is not in the New Testament. The first parable is in the Old Testament. And this is the first parable. He could shout the parable because where he stood, the acoustic is fantastic. I guess, you know, I heard that some of the tours where they take you to Israel, they will bring you to this spot where you can stand there and you can just talk and the person over the other side can hear you clearly. And I guess this is the situation. He could shout a parable and call Abimelech a thorn bush and predicted that his followers and him will kill each other. Well, the parable is a very interesting parable. It was about trees looking to appoint a king. Three valuable trees, native trees, in Israel was first offered kingship, but none accepted. Finally, the thorn bush accepted on one condition. Look at verse 15. "If you really want to anoint me king over you, come and take refuge in my shade." Now we must ask ourselves a question. Is it possible to get a shade in a thorn bush? Have you ever seen a thorn bush? Yeah, probably, you know, Google and you can get it, okay? Is it possible to get a shade from a thorn bush? Any attempts to do so involves getting very close, right? Because it doesn't have branches that goes out with leaves, right? So any attempt to get a shade from a thorn bush means you are required to get close. And when you get close, what happens? You will be pierced. And Jotham drove his point home with a curse, which we read in verse 20. "Let fire come out from Abimelech and consume you, citizens of Shechem and Beth Milo. And let fire come out from you, citizens of Shechem and Beth Milo, and consume Abimelech." I asked myself, and I ask you, who do you draw close to? Who do you, you know, who are the people that you will spend time with and draw close to? Or you don't anymore. Nowadays, you just do digital, you know, hello, how are you? But you never draw close to them. You see, when Trump was elected as president of the USA, that was 4 years ago. Sorry, my illustration is a bit dated. It happens when you get older. When he was elected as president of the USA, I asked my friends in the USA, why are you all not concerned about his behavior? Are you all not concerned? These are my Christian friends. One of them is a pastor in the Singapore church before he migrated to the USA. And I said, why are you not concerned about his behavior? Are you not concerned that he's a womanizer? Are you not concerned that he cheats people? Are you not concerned that he deal in business? Are you not concerned for all those things and many more things? They told me that they supported him not for his character. So they agree with me, his character is not good. They supported him not for his character, but for his policies. I find it hard. You know, to hear it from unbelievers, it's okay. Because they just want to get things done. They just want to get their way done. They just want to get their rights established. But to hear it from believers, I find it very hard. Because we believers know that before God, who we are is more important than what we can do. You know, personally, I learned one important lesson. Some people don't even touch them with a 10-foot pole. But sadly, many will just draw close to people who are successful because they want to be successful without judging their character. And so we see the fulfillment of Jotham's parable in verse 47 to 49. When Abimelech heard that they had assembled there, he and all his men went up to Mount Zamon. He took an axe and cut off branches, which he lifted to his shoulders. He ordered the men with him, quick, do what you have seen me do. So all the men cut branches, followed Abimelech. They piled them against the stronghold and set it on fire over the people inside. So all the people in the tower of Sichem, about 1,000 men and women, also died. Finally, the people of Sichem had enough of Abimelech and rebelled against him. Abimelech and his supporters took branches, set on fire the city temple walls. 1,000 men and women perished in the flame. The Tower of Sichem was the place where the aristocrats of Sichem lived. The temple of El Berith was located there. The people felt safe in a place that is devoted to their gods. They thought at least Abimelech will respect God and leave them alone. But no, he turned the temple into a furnace and killed all the people there. Though this rebellion was started by a man called Gehiel, yet in verse 23, we read, look at verse 23. Then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the citizens of Sichem, so that they became treacherous towards him. On a human level, Gehiel was revolting against Abimelech. But the scripture tells us that an evil spirit produce discord and strife. It tells me one thing. Evil spirit cannot resist God's sovereign rule. Now, we're going to, by looking at the overview story, now let us try to learn some lessons from Judges chapter 9. 3. When God is forgotten, people will think that the end justifies the means. The end justifies the means. Even if it is God's plan for Abimelech to be king, the way he went about it was wrong. So we must learn that even when we are doing what is right, it must be done rightly. If only we'll remember this, some of the church fight will not get so out of hand. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 12, we read, "Woe to him who built a city with bloodshed and established a town by crime." Winning is not everything. Even when we want to win, we must win it rightly and in a God-pleasing manner. If not, walk away. So when God is forgotten, people think that the end justifies the means. Secondly, when God is forgotten, people will divide and conquer. Be very careful of those who are your friend, because your enemy is their enemy. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to 19, we read, and these are verses I just hold very close to my heart, because I know the wickedness of my heart. It says there in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to 19, "There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. What are the six? Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, a feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness that pours out lies." These are the six things God hates. Then the seven, which God detests, even worse than hate, is a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. God hates those who divide and conquer. Well, when God is forgotten, people think that the end justifies the means. Then they also will divide and conquer. And finally, when God is forgotten, people prefer position over usefulness. Let's look at it. The olive tree was first to be asked in verse 9. And they replied, "Should I give up my oil by which both gods and men are honored to hold sway over the trees?" Offered kingship, the olive tree refuses. Now, olive is not only good for food. At that time, they were also the primary oil in Israel. And houses are even lit by lamps filled with olive oil. Olive oil is also used for medicinal purposes and for ceremonial anointing. Of course, when you are selecting a leader, won't you want to look for someone with so much to offer? Olive is actually, you know, in those olden times, if you own a plantation of olive trees, you are among the richest person in Israel. Olive tree has so much to offer, yet they prefer usefulness over the position of being a king. Then the next tree we find in verse 11 was the fig tree. And in verse 11, we read its reply. Should I give up my fruit so good and sweet to hold sway over the trees? The fig is a fibrous fruit and it has good sugar content, not bad sugar content, fruit type of sugar. Its large leaves provide good shades. It also has many certain purposes. In the book of 2 Kings and in Isaiah, we are told that it's a good treatment for boils. Try it if you have it. So when we select a leader, isn't it quite good for us to select someone that is sweet to work with? Not someone that is harsh. Well, the fig tree preferred to be useful than to be a king. Finally, the vine was asked. Surely the vine wouldn't refuse, because vines need to have something to clip on, right? Vine needs to have those poles and all those places that they can just kind of latch themselves on. Surely the vine will need a throne to cling on to, right? But in verse 13, the vine said, should I give up my wine, which cheers both gods and men, to hold sway over the trees? Vine produces wine, which is used both in religious and celebratory occasions. It also had medicinal use. Timothy was told to treat his stomach condition with a glass of wine or two when he's troubled. When selecting a leader, someone who will give gladness will be good, isn't it? But the vine prefers to be useful than to be the king. So all these three valuable trees in Israel refuses the position of a king. Finally, the offer was made to the thorn bush. This ambitious wheat never produced anything except for a lot of spikes. It has no fatness. It has no sweetness. It has no gladness. It has sharp spikes in abundance. You see, the lesson is this. When we settle for a person who seeks position over usefulness, we are endangering ourselves. When we seek people who are interested in position over usefulness, we are endangering our future. This world we live in are full of people who will strive for personal elevation and advantage. Go near to them, and eventually you will be pierced. Abimelech reigned was only for 3 years. He was not a judge. He was an anti-judge. When God is forgotten, Abimelech's ego, leading to his power struggle, brought much misery. This is essentially the problem. When God is forgotten, your ego will rise. You see, there can only be one person on the throne of our lives. If God is put aside, then self will be enthroned. That's why Jesus Christ says, you want to follow me? You want to follow me? Deny self. We skip that part. We go to the second part. You know? Deny yourself, take up the cross. We like take up a cross. Because, you know, see, look at me. I'm taking up my cross. You see? how much I sacrifice to God? See? They forgot the first. Deny yourself. Take up the cross and follow me. So when God is forgotten, God is off the throne, we have to replace someone on the throne. And guess who is it going to be? I, me, and myself. The unholy Trinity. When God is forgotten, still, God is not absent. Still, God is not absent. He is still on his throne, even though we refuse him the throne of man. He will still decide the outcome. You think we can take control and decide the outcome of our lives? No. We can remove God from the throne of our life, but he is still on his throne. And he will still determine the eventual outcome. And that's why we read in verse 56 and 57. Thus God repaid the wickedness that Abimelech had done to his father by murdering his 70 brothers. God also made the men of Shechem pay for all their wickedness. The curse of Jotham, son of Zerubbabel, came on them. When God is forgotten, we will place ourselves on the throne, and all that we are interested is position, not usefulness. And we read that God returned the evil of Abimelech. There are consequences for action. You know, sadly speaking, my son made an observation to me many years ago, not recently, but about 20 years ago, when he was a younger man. He said, we are living in a no-consequence world. Recently, I saw some girls tattoo their body. Christians. That's a result of a no-consequence mentality. They don't think fine. We think that consequences should come faster for people. But we hope that it will never come fast for us. Actually, we don't even think there is consequence. But there always will be consequence. If you allow the end to justify the means, if you divide and conquer, and if you prefer position over these things, all you need to do is just live longer. Live longer. Why young people don't think there is a consequence? Because they don't live long enough yet. Just live longer. And you will realize there are consequences for all our actions. But of course, we can repent and get God can nullify it. But if not, there will always be consequences. It can be to you personally, it can be to your children, it can be to your family, it can be more than one race. Recently, a young man whom I did Bible study with years ago came to visit me. Haven't seen him for about maybe 10 years because I think I took him in Bible study for about 10 years ago. And then career caught up and then he and his colleague and his friends who are his age got caught up in career and so forth. He called me up and said, Albert, you know, I'm retired. Can I come and see you? I said, sure. And so he came to my house. He told me that his company gave him an early retirement because he's only 57 years old right now. And that's why I asked him, man, do you have enough or not? You know, do you need any help from me or not? He said, no. His company gave me, my company gave me a generous package. I will have enough for the rest of my life, he said, if I live up to 80 or 90. Not so bad, right? So I asked him, now that you are retired from work, what are you doing? He told me that he will be playing golf next week in Batam. And the next month, he'll be playing golf in Vietnam. I did not ask him, what is the final golf game? He may say St. Andrews. Those of you who are not first known, ask Pastor John. He knows about St. Andrews. You know, I got a friend who said, my ambition in playing golf is to play in St. Andrews. Yeah. So I told him, I'm also retired from working, but not from serving. Till the Lord returns, or I return to Him, I want to be useful for the Lord for this. And I could see that he was taken back. And he promised me that he will seek the Lord on how to be useful. Because I guess he was just waiting for God's thing, not how to be useful for the Lord's purposes. I'm praying for him. And I'm awaiting his next visit so that he could tell me how God has led him to be useful for God's purposes. But maybe I had to wait a bit longer because golf takes a time. To play golf, it takes time. I guess he had to play a few more golfs to realize that life is not all about golfing or goofing. It's about being useful for the Lord's purposes. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And even in the bad examples, we can learn so much lesson. Firstly, dear Father, help us to evaluate and reflect. Are we of the mentality that the end justifies the means? Are we dividing and conquering to get our own way? And are we more interested in position over being useful for your purposes? Help us, dear friend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.